Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Jeremy Frazier. It was presented in September of 2008. The title of the message, Life Lessons from a Dead Loser.
Joshua 7, verse 19, it says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." Many years ago, there was a great leader of the children of Israel. His name was Joshua. Joshua actually followed a great leader, a guy named Moses. And Moses had led the children of Israel out of the wilderness, out of Egypt, through the wilderness, all the way to the edge of the promised land. But then Moses died. He really wasn't able to go into the promised land because he had committed sin. You know, when I think about this is a message that's going to be pretty strong on the subject of sin. And sometimes I don't think we see sin the way God sees it. When you begin to view sin the way God views it, you begin to have a hatred for it. And actually, the Bible says this, that those who love the Lord hate evil. And there's this idea here where you have this man, Joshua, who is really this great leader. But there's another guy in the army who really, you could say, was a loser. You know, I think about that. I don't think if I were to ask the question, how many of you really want to be a loser in life, that you'd really raise your hand, because nobody wants to be a loser. We all want to be successful. We all want to have a life that's not characteristic of really somebody who's a loser. And what you see here is this. I've called this message, Life Lessons from a Dead Loser. See, Joshua takes the children of Israel, and he's at the edge of the promised land. They're getting ready to go into the land that God had given them, and they're separated by this huge river, and it's really the Jordan River. It was at flood stage. That means they couldn't naturally get across it, especially all these millions of people really making their way across. So God promised and did a miracle. Now, I don't know about you. This would be so amazing to see. I can't wait till when I get to heaven that I can say, God, can you like rewind that? I want to be able to see that. Because what happened was they get to the edge of this flooded river. They can't get across it, but then God parts a river. Now, I don't know about you, but that'd be amazing to me to think, because where's all the water going? Actually, in another passage, it describes this and how it stands up on a heap. And you know, talk about amazing. Here's this river that's flowing down, and then it just stops, and it starts to stand straight up in the sky. When they get to this place there, they wanted to follow the Lord, and here's God. He uses Joshua, and he tells Joshua a really unusual battle plan. I don't know about you, but this is a weird battle plan. What you do is get up in the morning, don't say a word, just march around the city walls, go all the way around it, come all the way back, and then camp out. The next day, do the same thing. They do it all the way till they do it for 6 days in a row. Then on the seventh day, God says, I want you to march around 7 full times, shout with a loud voice, blow trumpets, and then I'll deliver the city to you. Now, again, a weird battle plan, but God told them to do it, and they believe the Lord. And so they begin to march around and begin to walk in and out the city. See, what God said was this. He said, don't take anything for yourself. This is the first city you're going to conquer. But because it's the first city, it's kind of like a tithe. It's kind of like the first fruits of your offering. In other words, you give it to God. God's the one who allowed you to do this. Really, this is all about God. And so they all agreed. They promised not to take anything for themselves. They could take gold and silver and use those metals for the temple of God, but it was all given right to God right away. But there was a man named Achan. And Achan, when he walked around, he looked around and he saw some things. Maybe it's because of the way the sun kind of shone in that afternoon, and he looks down and he sees something flicker, and he looks and he gets closer and he picks it up, and the first thing he sees is a wedge of gold. He kind of looks around. It's this bar of gold. It's heavy. He feels the weight of it. He's no one seemed to see him, and he covets it, the Bible says. He wants it, he desires it. And he kind of puts it in his coat. He sees something else as he goes down to look and see what it is. Maybe it was a little box of some sort or a small bag. As he opens it up, there are 200 silver coins called shekels. And he sees these and he's looking around. Again, nobody's watching him. He takes that. Now, maybe he's thinking good things. Maybe he's thinking, man, this would be great. I can retire early, you know, or my son's birthday's coming up. You know, I can buy him some good presents with the, you know, who knows what he's thinking. And then he sees something else. He reaches down to see what it is as he picks it up. It's a Babylonian garment. Now, a Babylonian garment would basically be something that only royalty would wear. People who have tons of money or people who are really royalty. So he picks it up and maybe it was this beautiful dress. And he's thinking, man, my wife would look good in this. I mean, she's been wearing the same clothes for the last 40 years. This is awesome, you know. This would be really cool. But wait a second. They're not supposed to take. Lesson number one, as we go through this, I'm going to give you three lessons today. The first lesson that you can learn from this dead loser would be this. Number one, you can't sin and get away with it. Did you catch that? Lesson number one, you can't sin and get away with it. Now take your Bibles and let's look in verse 1 of chapter 7. It says this, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. So they sinned against God Almighty." It says, "For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Here's the first thing. You can't sin and get away with it. The Bible teaches in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, the second part of the verse says this, "Be sure your sins will find you out." What's amazing is this, somehow Achan thought he could sin and get away with it. You almost want to come up to Achan and shake him a little bit and say, "Hello, who do you think you are?" But the question is, who do you think you are? But what you see here is this, there's really three things about God that you see. First of all, one thing you see is this, that God sees all things. Did you know that? Did you know that God sees you? I mean, here's Achan, he's looking all around, and man, he's taking the stuff, and nobody seems to see him. But the problem is, he looked all around him, but he forgot to look straight up, because see, here's the point, God from heaven looked down and saw everything he did. Did you know that? Did you know when you think nobody is watching you and you go and you commit some form of sin, you break God's law in some way and nobody seems to know that somebody does know because God saw you do it? I mean, God knows it. Did you know the Bible even teaches that God Almighty knows what you think? Could you imagine? What if we took the dirty thoughts that you've had even the last day? Thoughts towards people, thoughts of anger, thoughts of hatred, impure thoughts, wicked thoughts. And somehow we projected them on the screen and we had your name there and had a picture of you and all the dirty thoughts that you thought. But here's God who does know them. And guess what? Ultimately, the Bible teaches that God is the ultimate judge. God is the one that you would stand for and give an account of your life. And can I tell you, some of you are going to give an account of far sooner than you think. Sometimes as a teenager, you kind of like, it's kind of like you're invincible, you feel like. You're kind of crazy. You do kind of crazy things. You know why? Because you don't think it can be you. Wait till you have a friend die. It begins to rock your world. And you realize that God's the ultimate judge, and the Bible says that we will all stand before God. If you are lost, you will stand before God in this great white throne judgment. He will look at you. He will see the sins and everything about it, and he will cast you, the Bible says, into the lake of fire because God is righteous. God always does right. He always punishes wrongdoing. He always punishes sin, and he will cast you into this place. But you know what? Maybe you're a believer, and you've been rescued from your sin. You know what? You will stand before God as a believer, and it's called the Bema judgment, and actually you'll be rewarded for how you lived as a believer. And when you see this, you realize we can't sin and get away with it. Here's Achan. You know what he did? He took all that stuff. No one seemed to know. And he went back to his tent. In this big nomadic style of tent, he dug a hole in the midst of it, took that stuff, put it in the hole, covered it up. Lesson number one, I told you, you can't sin and get away with it. But lesson number two, what you can see is this. It's always better to confess your sins than to cover them up. That's the second lesson. It's always better to confess your sins than to cover them up. See, the Bible teaches in Joshua chapter 7, verse 19, eventually what happens is he goes. See, they go and then he hides the sin. And after he hides the sin, he then goes and goes off like it's no big deal. Nobody knows. They go to another city to conquer. It's a city called Ai. Ai is like a dinky city. Because Ai is really not walled real well. It's not fortified. There's not that many people that live in the city, especially compared to Jericho. So here's the children of Israel. They kind of go there, and really I think they overestimate what God's going to do because they think God's with them. You don't seem to see any kind of prayer about this attacking this next city. They kind of do this thinking, assuming, oh, God's here. God's with us. God's going to bless us. Not really taking it before the Lord. And I really believe if they did, they would have seen it earlier. But here they go. They go to the next city, this city called Ai Dinki. They don't even take all these army people. I mean, probably before, they probably had upwards of 600,000 to a million people that were in the army. But here they go to Ai, and they take 3,000 men. You say, why would they do that? Because Ai was so, it's like attacking a little tiny village. But when they go there to attack these people come out and they begin to come out like crazy men, and all of a sudden you're there and you're fighting, and a guy beside you gets stabbed and he falls over and he's dying, and you're thinking that's not supposed to happen, and somebody else gets stabbed and is dying, and you're thinking that's not supposed to happen, and all these people are dying, 36 men die, they eventually run back in retreat for their life, and they go all the way back to Joshua, and when they see Joshua, they're huffing and puffing, they're saying, Joshua, 36 men have just died and we've lost the battle. Joshua's going, what? Joshua does what a good leader does. He gets on his knees before God and really falls on his face and says, God, please tell us, why did this happen? He starts to beg God, God, why did this happen? And he starts even in his prayer almost complaining, saying, God, maybe we shouldn't have even left the wilderness area. Maybe we should have stayed over there. And God answers him and says this, Joshua, get up. Get up. There is sin in the camp. You find it and you get rid of it, and my blessing will be there. But if you don't find it and you get rid of it, I will not bless you. Do you think God treats sin lightly? If you do, you better think again. And here's God telling him to get rid of it. And here's Joshua, this great leader, who's saying, you know what? I want God's power. I want to see God do great things. And so he gets up and he starts asking around, hey, do you know of any kind of sins that are in the camp? Hey, do you guys know of any sins that are in the camp? I mean, he's serious about this. Hey, come on, somebody tell me. Everyone's basically looking at him saying, we don't know of anything. God tells him, I'll give you a plan. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the 12 tribes. These would have been thousands of people in each tribe, and there's 12 of these. And he said, pass them in front of you. And then all of a sudden, as they're passing a tribe there, he says, stop, you guys. Now everybody else leave. And he's got this thousands of people from this one tribe. And then he goes and does this. They start to pass the families of the tribe, and they get in groups of these families. As they're coming through there, again, hundreds of people in these families. And all of a sudden, they come here, and he says, stop. He stops the group. The rest of you go home. See, what God was doing was this. God was using Joshua, and God was telling him where the sin was. And as this is being revealed, could you imagine what Achan's thinking? I mean, Achan's got getting, you know, he keeps getting closer to being singled out. I wonder if at this time he's thinking, there is no way anybody knows. He got lucky. Ooh, he got lucky again. Uh-oh. And what happens is this, is they begin to take the families, and they know it's the families. Then they take the men of the family. And now, again, all these men lined up, and they begin to take them before Joshua. And all of a sudden, as he's walking through, I wonder if Achan even, kind of as he's walking by, kind of thought, no big deal again. He's been covering his sin for so long. I wonder if maybe he even kind of put a little bit of a smirk on his face as he's kind of going across there in front of Joshua and kind of looking at him like, it's not me. And right as he gets in front of Joshua, Joshua says, stop. Now read verse 19 and can imagine the passion in his voice, because he is passionate. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 19, he says, Joshua says unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." He's saying, you confess it, forsake it, you tell me now, because God is the one who's pointed you out. Stop hiding your sin. You're already caught. He fesses up. It's like he's in the front of the principal's, you know, and the principal is looking at him, and he's saying, "But I didn't really," and the principal says, no, you've done this, 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 this. We have it on video. Oh. So he's fessing up. In verse 20, what you see is Achan answers Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among those spoils of the goodly Babylonian garment 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and I took them. And behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers. And they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in the tent and the silver under it. Lesson I told you number two is it's always better to confess your sins than to cover them up. You know what? He had opportunities to confess, but he didn't. When I think about this, when you really confess your, you know, here's God. Okay, you're sitting here in this service. And God starts kind of pointing at you. God starts convicting you. You know what conviction is? It's when the Spirit of Almighty God begins to point out things in your heart and saying, these are wrong. I know what you've done. This is wrong against God. And you really come to grips with this. You know, when you really come to grips and you begin to confess and you say, okay, I don't want this anymore. I don't want my sin. I realize this is something that God hates, and I want to obey the Lord. I want to follow what he says. And so you really confess. You begin to see the sin the same way God sees it, and you forsake it and say, God, I don't want it anymore. God, rescue me. And you come before the Lord. It is amazing when you confess before the Lord, there are things that happen. The first thing I think that would happen when you confess your sins, the Bible calls it peace. Peace. The Bible actually says it this way. It is a peace that passes all understanding. It is a peace that the world, the unsaved world, doesn't know. They don't know this because it's this peace between you and God. In other words, there's nothing there. You've confessed it. You've taken what's in the way of you and God out of the way. God has delivered you from this, and now there's this intimate, this closeness with you and God. There's nothing there. It's amazing. Have you ever had peace with somebody else? Man, I'll tell you, confession brings real peace. And not only that, though, I would say confession, when you really confess your sin, it brings prosperity. When you really give your sins to the Lord, you begin to prosper in your spiritual life. You begin to grow and pursue God in a new way. Isn't it weird? Some of you remember this because some of you were at camp this summer and you gave a lot of things. I mean, you really gave God everything. And all of a sudden, it's like for the first time, the Word of God really opened up to you. I mean, you went, it was just the weirdest thing. It's because here's God and he wanting to work in you, but if you hold on to your sin, you won't be prosperous spiritually. But some of you right now are thriving. You know why? Because you keep giving your sins to God and saying, I don't want these. God, deliver me. But there's others of you here that have no peace in your spiritual life right now. You are not prospering. You're trying to think, how do I make it by? I don't even know what's going on here. And here's God who teaches us that when you really confess your sins, you have peace, you have prosperity, and the third thing that you really have is power. But here's what's amazing. When you confess and forsake sin, all of a sudden there's this power in life. And the point is this, there's power in purity. But when you don't confess your sins, when you cover them up, right away you're guilty. There are some of you that when you sit here right now, and I look at your face, and I look at your eyes, you know what's written all over you? Guilt. You are guilty before God because of sins. You know they're there. And right now, it's almost like saying, stop, Jeremy. You know, quit looking at me. It's almost the way you feel because of the sins that are there. There's guilt. There's conflict. And then there's this weakness. Some of you right now, you have friends. and they are living in sin and destroying their life. But you are such a coward, and you are so in sin that you know you can't say a word to them because you would be the biggest hypocrite if you did. So you sit back while your friend destroys his life. And what's amazing about this is here's Achan who keeps covering up. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." God says this. "But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Now, I don't know about you. I want mercy in my life. Man, I want God's grace in my life. But God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And if you don't have God's grace, you know why? It's because you're full of pride. Told you, number one, you can't sin and get away with it. Number two, it's always better to confess your sins and to cover them up. But number three, listen to this. Your sin destroys you and others. I think of it this way. You know what? In Achan's life, you know who it affected? Man, it affected, right away you could see it affected his friends. Now, who did Achan hang around? I mean, think about this. He's an army guy, okay? He's a military man. Who'd he hang around? It was his military friends. 36 men. They died. They died because of Achan's sin. But it affected his family. Because you say, what happened there? Well, let's read this. Because as you look in verse 24... you see what happened here. It says, "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. They raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day." And then the Bible says this, "So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." See, what happened was this, his family dies. You might right here be thinking, nobody knows. Nobody knows about the sins I'm involved in. It's not hurting anybody. You're wrong. Did you know that? Actually, when you live in sin, even though your friends might not know it, you affect them. Or maybe I should put it this way, you infect them. Some of you, if you would come clean and you would really get right, you know what it would do? It would radically transform your family, because right now the big struggle in your family is you. And God's trying to deal with you about certain sins, but you know what? It's destroying you. And not only that, the last thing that you see is it destroyed his future. See, he could have been able to fight in all of these major battles and seen God use him in a great way, but no. He dies at an early age. Why? Because of his sin. Because of his sin. You say, "Jeremy, this seems pretty harsh. God hates sin. God is holy. That means God is separate from sin. God has never committed a sin. And yet here we are. We sit here and we are guilty before God Almighty." I'll finish off with this. As I told you, I've got little kids. You know, I've got this 4-year-old little boy. Funny, man. This little kid non-stops talking. I mean, this guy, you know, you're like, his greatest punishment is he can't talk, you know? And then I've got this other little boy who kind of walks around. He's really funny. And with Noah having boys, to me, it's just become even more and more realistic. I remember a pastor friend of mine told me the story of how he had come home. And when he would come into the house every day, these boys would go, "Daddy!" And they'd run up and they'd, you know, kind of give him a hug. And that's what my boys do. It's so funny, man. It's like they see Daddy, they're like, "Daddy!" You know, they tackle me, you know, kind of like this. And it's just these little boys, and they're just cute. They're fun. And I remember him telling me that this day when he opened up the door and he saw his son looked at him with almost fear in his eyes. Right away, the little boy grasped his hand really tight and stuck it behind his back. I mean, like, you could tell something wasn't right. And the father goes, hey, you know, hey, buddy, and starts trying to call his name, and he's looking at his dad like, and he starts taking steps back. His dad says, what do you have? What do you have in your hand? Give daddy what's in your hand. No. And he starts crying. Again, little boy, probably around, I'm guessing, 3, something like that. And as he's backing up even further until finally the father actually kind of corners him there, and he says, come on, give daddy what's in your hand. You're not going to be in trouble. Just obey daddy. Give daddy what's in your hand. And he's crying no. And as the dad got real close, the little boy does this like football move. You know, he runs around his dad and he starts running up the stairs. He runs up the stairs into another part of the house, and he's hiding in this corner. His dad chases him there. He's thinking, what in the world does he have in his hand? As he goes there, gets closer and closer and closer, he finally has his boy kind of pinned, you know. He's like in this corner and he's crying. His boy's just bawling. Tears are coming out of his eyes and on his face, and the dad finally grabs his hand and starts pulling it out, and the kid's holding it so tight he starts little by little prying open a finger at a time, and he opens it up to find half of a dead cockroach. And this boy saw it on the ground, thought it was something great, and he was holding on tight. He didn't want to give it to his dad, and his dad goes, oh, that's disgusting, knocks out his hand, says, that is so gross, that is so gross. The boy's still kind of crying. You know what's amazing? That boy's a teenager today, and if you remind him of that story, you know what he's going to say? Oh, sick! That's disgusting. I can't believe I was holding on to that. That is foul. And that's my point. You know, when you really come clean before God and God really gets a hold of your life and you really begin to see your sin, later you look back on it. You know what I this regret in my life is this. I sure wish I would have given my heart and life to the Lord so earlier than what I did. And I look back and I think, that's foul. What was I holding on to? Why was I holding on to that? So let me ask you this question. It's my last question to you. What sin is in your tent?
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Life Lessons from a Dead Loser by Evangelist Jeremy Frazier. It was originally presented in September of 2008 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special services at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.